5.
That five kinds of the first afflictions and the four said to be the second ones have their range in a higher dhatu. This is expounded by the one who is not without wisdom. That is the Shakyamuni, of course. The world honored one.
Doesn't have wisdom?
The one who is not without wisdom. This is what the Chinese says.
Without wisdom, then it's
full. Aprajna. Who is not without? Not without means having. Double negation is always positive.
Yeah, complex.
Well, not completely the same. If you say this is not small, doesn't mean it's big, right? If you double negation is or always positive. But there is still some difference. Mm-hmm. Not without wisdom does not necessarily mean very wise.
Yeah.
Not necessarily. Not without wisdom, he has a little bit of wisdom.
Yeah?
That's also not without, maybe a little bit. But it means very, very wise, of course. This is like politicians talk, you know. So you have to think twice to understand. The explanation is quite simple. The wrong view to be abandoned through the vision of suffering in the realm of desire. So it says the five kinds of the first afflictions. The five kinds of the first afflictions, they are mentioned in footnote 59. They are dukkha dashanaheya mitya drishti, drishti paramarsha, shilavrata paramarsha, vichikitsa, and avidya. Those five, dukkha dashanaheya. So, the five kinds of the first afflictions, which means dukkha dashanaheya, kleshas, and mentioned in footnote 59. And the four to be said to be the second ones, you find them in note 60. So that samudaya dashanaheya, which is mitya drishti, drishti paramarsha, chikitsa, and avidya. Those are really to give them the real names. Five kinds of the first afflictions and four to be the second ones. First afflictions mean dukkha dashanaheya and second one is samudaya dashanaheya. Have they range in a higher realm? They also have an object in a higher bhumi. So the sarvatragas are limited to the own bhumi. And these ones also have an object in higher bhumi. And then this is explained. The mitya drishti, which is dukkha dashanaheya in the kama dhatu. So you see, all you have to have it constantly in mind, kama dhatu, and the four dukkha samudaya nirodha marga dashana. You always have to keep it in mind. Always have to, because if you have to think what does it mean, then one uncertainty on top of another uncertainty and it becomes completely uncertain. So this here, the chikitsa will just grow. You should not. So the wrong view to be abandoned through the vision of suffering in the realm of desire, that means in the kama dhatu, dukkha dashanaheya, mitya drishti. Yes? In the kama dhatu, dukkha dashanaheya or heya or prahatavya, the same Mityadrashti, denies the suffering of the realm of form and of the realm of formlessness. This Mityadrashti says that in Rupa Dhatu and Arupa Dhatu, Arupya Dhatu, there is no Dukkha. So the object is higher up. Okay? Is this clear? So in Kama Dhatu, Mityadrashti. The kind of Mityadrashti which you can remove by seeing suffering. So because this Mityadrashti thinks that in Rupa and Arupya there is no suffering, so it has an object higher up in Rupa and Arupya. Is it clear? Mm. I think it is clear. To me it's clear. Is it? but
yeah.
It should be clear to you. So in any way, the Dukkha Darshana Heya Mityadrashti says there is no Dukkha in Rupa and in Arupya. So the object is in a higher bhumi, not limited to the own bhumi, not svabhumika, as they say in Sanskrit, no? It's higher up. And then Dashti Paramasha, evil adherence to wrong views, Dashti Paramasha, evil to wrong views, experiences the suffering as best. So, as I said, asceticism, tapas. Asceticism is, this is Dashti Paramasha. You think this asceticism will lead you to some higher, to perfect rest, which is of course not true. But you think so, this is the wrong way. But, so this means suffering, yes? You're suffering here, and because there is no suffering. Higher up, also there is no object of, it's wrong also higher up, not only in Kama Dhatu. So that is also same thing, experience this suffering as okay, as best, which is not of course. And then there is Sila Vrata Paramarsha, thinks that suffering will prepare you for deliverance.
Yes.
So you think Sila will bring you deliverance, which is not true. It is just the basis for deliverance, but with a very good person will not be delivered because he's just following the rules all the time, you know. It's you need more than just follow the rules of the monks. You need mental cultivation, seeing the Four Noble Truths, just knowing not to eat after 12, will not bring you nirvana, you know. It is just a set of rules which make it possible for you to develop the mind. But it is not the goal in itself. But you think it is, and so that is wrong. And then doubt is uncertain about it, and ignorance does not understand it. Yes? Doubt is not certain about this suffering higher up, and ignorance does not understand this suffering higher up. But if you do not understand this suffering higher up, or if you have doubt about this suffering higher up, it means your object is higher up, yes? So the object can be higher than your own bhumi. The wrong view, which must be abandoned through the vision of origination, so samudaya darshanaheya mityadrashti, denies the cause, says there is no samudaya in Rupa and Arupya Dhatu. So, mityadrashti is the wrong view. And because of your wrong view here in this Kama Dhatu, you also say there is no samudaya in Rupa Dhatu. There is no cause of suffering higher up. Mityadrashti is your wrong. Mm. So you're wrong here, and you're wrong about cause, about reasons why, about the causation, the cause of suffering. If you deny suffering, then you also deny its cause. Deny its cause. If there is no suffering, there is no cause for suffering. And that is what it said here. So the cause is also denied higher up. There is no suffering higher up, and so there is also no cause higher up. And the evil adherence to wrong views, dushti paramarsha, experience the cause as very good. And that is also wrong. No? Asceticism is not, it's not okay. Even in rupa dhatu and arupya dhatu. And doubt is uncertain, and ignorance does not understand. Yes, so they are all there. It is like this for all stages of the rupa dhatu and of the arupya dhatu, up to the sphere of nothingness, and that is akinchanyayatana. Akinchanyayatana, you can write in more than one way. No, the arupya samapatis all have a name ending in ayatana. It's ayatana. Akinchanyayatana is nothingness.
Yeah.
No kinchit nasti. No, nothing, whatever. And the highest one, this is number 3 of the 4.
Yeah.
What is number 4 of the 4?
Naiva
sanya. Naiva sanya. Yatana. Akinchanya yatana is number 3. So you see, these first 3 are separated from the 4th. Actually, the Buddha, when he was being taught, first by his first arada, taught him the 3 ones, yes? Taught him up till this one was taught to him by arada. You call him in Pali alara.
Yeah?
But arada in Sanskrit. And then the last one, the naiva sanjnya samjnya yatana, was by udraka in Sanskrit, udraka in Pali. But this is separate. This apparently is a separate one. It's also called Bhavagra. This last one. It's the top, the highest agra of existence. Because after that, you become an arhat. After this number, this ayatana, after Bhavagra, you are arhat. Anyway, in Sarvastivada, Theravada also. Theravada is simpler, you know. You only have one arhat and that's it. But they have six here. Well, let's continue. And number 76. Number 76. Let it be known that wrongness and doubt, mithya and vichikitsa, and the ignorance which is produced to get together with them, and also the ignorance which is special, to be abandoned through the 2, appeasement and the path, have a pure object. Looks very complicated. It's very complicated, that's why it looks very complicated. So, but the explanation. The wrong view, mithya drishti, which is abandoned through nirodha darshana. So nirodha darshana mithya drishti. The wrong view is mithya drishti. Abandoned through the vision of cessation is nirodha darshana. So nirodha darshana heya mithya drishti. If I say it in Sanskrit, it looks much easier and simpler than in English, right?
Yep.
This is in Sanskrit it's better, it's shorter. So nirodha darshana heya, or nirodha darshana prahatavya, it's the same. Mithya drishti denies cessation, says there is no nirodha. But because it takes nirodha as its object, the object is pure. Nirodha is pure. Okay? Mithya drishti has an object. The wrong view has an object. And the mithya drishti can be sometimes eliminated through nirodha darshana, by seeing cessation. noble truth number three. By seeing noble truth number three, Nirodha Mithya Drishti can be eliminated. But in that case, the object, namely Nirodha, is pure. Nirodha and Marga are pure, are anasrava. So the object is pure of this Mithya Drishti. Mithya Drishti has a pure object, namely Nirodha. It is wrong about Nirodha, but the object anyway is Nirodha. It is wrong about Nirodha, but the object still is Nirodha. Can be wrong about Nirodha. If you are wrong about Nirodha, Nirodha is your object. But you're wrong about it, but it's still your object. But this object is pure, because it's Nirodha. That's what he says. Because it takes cessation as an object, it has a pure anasrava one. And this, and in the same way, thus, doubt is uncertain about cessation. If your vichikitsa can be removed by Nirodha Darshana, if your doubt can be removed by seeing the truth of cessation, then this kind of doubt also has pure object, namely cessation.
Nirodha cessation.
You get the meaning? It's not very easy. If your vichikitsa can be removed by seeing cessation, cessation is its object, yes?
Mm.
And this is pure.
Yeah.
Cessation and marga, Nirodha and marga are pure. So this kind of vichikitsa has a pure object. It is not certain about it, but the object is still pure. So doubt is uncertain in relation to it, and also ignorance, and the ignorance associated with them. Now there are two kinds of ignorance. Ignorance, avidya, when you have doubt, this is associated with ignorance, yes? Yes? Because if there is no ignorance, how can you doubt? So doubt is associated, is linked with avidya. But avidya can also be separate on its own. You know? So avidya can be linked with a klesha. Then it is samprayukta, it is linked with an existing klesha, but it can also be one of the 10 kleshas by itself, which means special. And this, the linked means samprayukta, and special is avenika. Special is avenika. This is also not very good Sanskrit. This is Buddhist Sanskrit. You would expect avenika, no, not linked with others. Special avenika. This is Prakrit influence in this Sanskrit word. Avenika means special, meaning on its own, alone. Avenika.
Not
special.
Do something.
For example. Well, avenika, that word is also used for other things. For example, the Tathagata has some special qualities, which in Sanskrit is avenika dharma. So the Tathagata has qualities which only the Tathagata has, and that's also avenika dharma. So avenika is special. Wrongness and doubt, ignorance which is produced together with them, and also the ignorance which is special, to be abandoned through the two. Appeasement, meaning Nirodha, yes? And the path, meaning Marga. Appeasement is some form of Shama, but when it comes to the Four Noble Truths, it means the Nirodha. So yeah, Dukkha Samudaya Nirodha Marga. And Nirodha is the appeasement of the cause of suffering. Yes? So you always accumulate suffering, cause of suffering, cessation of the cause of suffering, the path which leads to the cessation of the cause of suffering. It's always one on top of the other. So the last, it's one upon the other. It's like a doctor, by the way, you know. Buddha is a doctor for the mind.
Yes.
Yeah. He sees we are sick. I got a cold. He sees we are sick, and then there must be a cause for that.
Yeah.
Cold weather, yes. Mm-hmm. There's a cause for that. And there is a way to take away this cause. That's the Nirodha. How to do this? With medicine, with a remedy. Mm-hmm. That's Marga. So this is how the doctor proceeds when you're sick, and also when to cure our mind like that. That's all. This is the Buddha is a doctor for the mind. You know, in the Lotus Sutra, there's a whole chapter about the Buddha. You know, the Buddha has died, but in the Lotus Sutra, it is like this. It says he pretends to die,
disappear.
But he does not really die. He just goes to some other place. And he leaves behind the Dharma, which is the medicine. You see? But he pretends to go away. And then the smart ones, when they take this medicine, and the stupid ones think we don't need this medicine, and they become even more sick. Yes. And more and more, after a very long time, more and more people are stupid. The smart ones are less and less and less and less. So the situation becomes worse and worse and worse and worse and worse, because less people want to take the Dharma. So it becomes very bad. And when the situation is very bad, he comes back to teach again. You see? But he's a doctor, and his Dharma is the medicine. And when we take it, we can be cured. And when we don't, well, this is the belief that the Dharma will become weaker and weaker, you know. So you have three periods. The Chinese say this very often. You have when the Dharma is still strong, and then the second one, when the Dharma is already not real anymore. And then the third period is the end of the Dharma. And the problem is, when does it begin? Be sure, we are already in it. So the problem when it begins is not a big problem. We are in there. So this is a different calculations. The end of the Dharma.
Japanese, they calculate.
The end of, they calculate very much. About 500 years after the death of the Buddha, or about 1,000 years after the death of the Buddha, in words, they calculate this, or even more. This is also in the Lotus Sutra, these three periods of time. It's very strange how people seem to think always that things will always be worse and worse and worse and worse. And people, that's not very positive, you know. People always accept, even Buddhists, that the Dharma will become weaker and weaker and weaker, and one day a Buddha will come back and it can begin again. But we always expect things to go worse, bad. It's just human nature is not very positive, actually. That's what Buddhists think and what most people think. The good old days are long past. Yeah? Everybody thinks the past is good. Future, no.
No.
But the past is very good, you know. The good old, the golden day, every culture, you know. Also Buddhists think that. You know, the first people did not have to work the land or whatever. The fruits just grew like that, you know. It was no problem at all. Nobody was fighting, everybody was happy, and then it became worse and worse and worse and worse. It's like that also in history. You know, history became with starts with very primitive people who don't know anything, and then little by little they develop into developed places, and the final stage is us. You know, so we are the best so far, but in the future it will go bad. It will turn bad. I think this has to do with human psychology. You only remember the good things, so the past was good.
Yeah.
You only remember the good things, and we're happy, because if you only remember the bad things, we would be very unhappy. So we remember the good things, which means the past was good. It's our feeling, and we are not certain about the future, so maybe that's bad, you know. So it's human psychology. Has nothing to do with Buddhism, really, but all cultures have this very strange development of thinking. Whatever. Let's 76. Yes, we go back. So the wrong view. Doubt is uncertain about it. Say yes. Also, the ignorance associated with them as a pure object, as this mithya drishti, and this. Chikitsa, this, there are two kinds of avidya also associated with them. If you look at footnote 73, you find
18.
Six in three rupas, that means 18. But I had some problem finding out how do you come to the figure 6. Mithya drishti vichikitsa, that is 2, yes? Mithya drishti vichikitsa, 1, 2. And then samprayukta vidya means associated ignorance, and avenika vidya, the simple one. How do you arrive at 3 times 2? Well, mithya drishti associated with avidya, and then there is avenika vidya, okay? A special one. If you have vichikitsa associated with with avidya, and also you have avenika vidya, in that case, you have 3 for mithya drishti and 3 for vichikitsa. Do you see, do you get my reasoning? So mentioned are vichikitsa, mithya drishti and vichikitsa is mentioned, yes? But we have to have the figure 6, because it is mentioned later, total of 18. So 6 in kama dhatu, 6 in rupa dhatu, 6 in arupya dhatu.
18.
So we need 6 in kama dhatu. Mithya drishti is 1, vichikitsa is 2. How do we come to 6? Well, if each one of the two has some prayukta vidya and avenika vidya, that makes that each one is 3, basically. In that case, you have 6. But you have to think about it. It is mentioned 18 later. So we have to have 6 in kama dhatu, but only 2 are really mentioned by name. And the others are samprayukta vidya and avenika vidya. So there is only one possible explanation, I think, that is that mithya drishti has samprayukta vidya and avenika vidya, and vichikitsa has samprayukta vidya and avenika vidya. In that case, we have 6.
First, I think vichikitsa itself is 1 avidya, then later 2.
Well,
3, 3, 6.
Always 2 avidyas,
yeah.
The associated one and the special one. In each, for mithya drishti, in for vichikitsa, you have the associated one and the special one.
Yeah.
So that makes 6.
3, 3, yeah.
Ignorance associated with them as a pure object. So if vichikitsa and mithya drishti have a pure object, so have these ignorances, yes, because they have the same object. Likewise, the special ignorance to be abandoned through cessation, nirodha, darshana, avenika vidya, it does not want nirvana, because it is avidya, ignorance, so you do not want nirvana, which is wrong, of course. But the object is still pure. You do not want something pure, but your object is still pure. You don't want it, but it's still pure. And then it is the same when they are abandoned through the vision of the path. When they are marga darshanaya, the same thing. These 18 urges have a pure object. 18, that means 6 in every bhumi. Question: how are the impure kinds taken as objects? So we, in 76, a pure object, an asrava object was explained, and now what about impure objects? And that's in 77. This part is a bit complicated. I agree. Is a part. When the kinds are in the realm of desire, all universal urges take them as objects in their particular stage. In a higher realm, it is the same. All universal urges, that those are the sarvatragas, the 11 sarvatraga ones, the 11 sarvatraga ones, when they are in the kamadhatu, they are, all universal urges take them as objects in their particular states. The sarvatragas were limited to the own bhumi, yes? So they are developed in the own bhumi by all objects. That's what they say. In a higher realm, the same, but always limited to the dhatu. In the kama dhatu, they are not developed by object higher up, but always own bhumi. 78. Let it be known that all other urges are developed by an object of their own kind in their own realm, and that they are associated with that which is of their own class. This is again this problem, you know. How a klesha can grow? How a klesha grows worse? Explanation: let it be known that all other urges, namely the non-sarvatragas, let it be known that all other urges are developed by an object of their own kind, meaning if there is a klesha which is dukkha darshana heya, it can only be developed, grow, with an object which is also dukkha darshana heya in the same bhumi. That's so. A kind means prakara. So let it be known that all other urges are developed by an object of their own kind, so of the same prakara, in the same dhatu. All urges which are not universal, taking all factors within their own kind as objects, are developed by them, which is the same meaning. So you have a, for example, a dukkha darshana heya klesha. It is developed by all dharmas of which are dukkha darshana heya, the same kind. And then association, and they are associated with that which is of their own class. A klesha which is, for example, dukkha darshana heya klesha in the kama dhatu, can only grow by association with a klesha which is also dukkha darshana heya in the kama dhatu. The universal ones and the ones which are not universal are all developed by association within their own class. Yes, and then 79. When the afflictions proceed within that which is pure, and when they have their object in another stage, they are developed by association because their range is disconnected. Let us look at the explanation instead of focusing on the gatha. So when the afflictions proceed within that which is pure, anasrava, and when a klesha has a pure object, when a klesha has a pure object, is wrong about it or whatever, when a klesha has a pure object, and when an affliction has its object in another bhumi. So when a klesha in kama dhatu has a pure object, it's wrong about this pure object, but it's still a pure object of this klesha. When this pure object is in rupa dhatu, that's higher up. That's in a higher stage, in another stage. They are developed by association. Only samprayoga, only association can make them grow. Not the object.
Because object is pure.
Because only association with another klesha. And when urges have a pure object, and when they have their object in a higher stage, they are developed by association with that which is of their own class. They are not developed by object. Why? Because this object is disconnected. Well, object, range and object, I already said, the difference between Vishaya and Alambana, yes? Vishaya is, your klesha is active in a certain field. That's the range, that's the Vishaya. And then you grab it, you take it, this klesha takes hold of this, becomes Alambana. So, range is Vishaya. These urges and these urges are not linked to their stage, but the pure factors are disconnected from the afflictions. So this affliction in the Kama Dhatu, you have an affliction, a klesha in the Kama Dhatu, and its object is in the Rupa Dhatu, for instance, which is pure, higher up. This klesha is not linked to it, he says, because this is pure, it cannot be connected. The factors of a higher stage are disconnected from the afflictions of a lower stage. So if you are in a lower stage, even if your object is higher up, it is not connected to it. That's what they say. Question, must these urges be called unwholesome, or are they indeterminate? Yes, that's another problem. You have the problem of kushala, akushala, and avyakrita. You have kushala. Kushala is wholesome. It's good for your future rebirth. Yes, kushala is karmically wholesome. And you also have akushala. Good or bad. But you also have neutral. Neutral in Sanskrit. In Sanskrit, it's called avyakrita. You immediately know the Pali, I guess. Yeah. It's something in between. So klesha sounds very bad in our eye. You know, we hear klesha, yes? But maybe not all kleshas are akushala.
No.
The reasoning here is very simple. I give one example, we will read it, is Satkaya Dushti. Satkaya Dushti, the thinking we have a body, we have an Atman, this is not akushala. And the reasoning is, if Satkaya Dushti is akushala, we could never have any possibility to gain kushala, something, to gain merit, you know. Because everybody has this wrong view. This wrong view is so widespread that it cannot possibly be akushala, because then nobody would be happy after all. That's the reasoning here. So it is neutral. Of course, a klesha is never kushala. At best, neutral. Never kushala. And let us explain here. The view of individuality, that's Satkaya Dushti. The view of extremes, that's Antagraha Dushti. And the ignorance which is associated with them, that's the Samprayukta Vidya, are Avyakrita in the Kama Dhatu. In Rupa and Arupya Dhatu, all kleshas are Avyakrita. The view of individuality, the view of extremes, and the ignorance which is associated with them are avyakrita in the Kama Dhatu. So, in the Kama Dhatu, the view of individuality, the view of extremes, and their samprayukta vidya are avyakrita. Why? Why are those three avyakrita, neutral, in Kama Dhatu? The explanation follows. The view of individuality is frequently assumed. Almost everybody has it. If it were unwholesome, if it were akushala, not one of the beings in the Kama Dhatu would find happiness, because they would often perform the unwholesome. Everybody has this satkaya drishti, so nobody would be successful. Furthermore, if satkaya drishti is akushala, it would be opposite of punya. Yes?
Yeah.
Now, when someone believing in a self performs that which is punya, even if you have satkaya drishti, you can do punya.
Yeah.
So he causes his atman to have happiness. And because the unwholesome is the opposite of wholesome, the view of individuality is not unwholesome. So, two reasons he gives why satkaya drishti is neutral, is indeterminate. First of all, too many people have this problem, so nobody would be successful. And the second one is, if you have this satkaya drishti, and if it is akushala, then you cannot do punya, because you can't perform punya. Even if you have your satkaya drishti, you can still perform punya. So it cannot be akushala. It can be neutral. That's the logic for these two. Yes, and then it continues. The view of annihilation, which is ucceda drishti, is a view of anityata. Yes? Ucceda drishti means impermanence. It stops, it's destruction, it's the end. And disgust with birth and death, this is not unwholesome, you know. If you have ucceda drishti, which means death, it stops. If you do not like death, this is not necessarily akushala. It's neutral. That's what he says. The view of annihilation, ucceda drishti, is impermanence, meaning ucceda drishti means you will die. Yes? And if you do not like samsara, this is not akushala. You will die. It's a neutral feeling about it. And many people have this problem. So the view is not akushala. And the view and shashvata drishti is the same. Shashvata drishti is the opposite of the wholesome. In the same way as the view of individuality, of satkaya drishti. Therefore, it is not unwholesome. The other afflictions of the realm of desire are only unwholesome. So only those two, satkaya drishti and antagraha drishti, are neutral. Because they are too frequent, mainly. And we can still do punya with those two wrong views, so it is neutral. But all other, the eight other kleshas, are akushala. And in form and in formlessness, they are all indeterminate. So in rupa dhatu, in arupya dhatu, all klesha is avyakrita. The urges of the realm of form and of the realm of formlessness are all avyakrita. Why? Because they are destroyed by samadhi. If you are in dhyana 1, 2, 3, 4, if you are in samapati 1, 2, 3, 4, your the kleshas there are neutral. A klesha can never be positive, can never be kushala, but it is not akushala, because in those stages you have samadhi. Because of samadhi, they become neutral. But they are still there, but they become neutral. Right sensation is a way to explain samadhi. You know, samadhi, actually it's a mistake. Samadhi, it right means sama in Pali, yes? Samyak. So it is as if the Chinese here has some Prakrit, some Pali looking word. Samadhi, it is as if it says sama. Samma, you know, samyak, correct, right?
Samyak.
Actually, it's samadhi with a one M, but if you think of it as samma with two M's, you have the right in the right sensation. You know. So the Chinese interpretation is based on some Prakrit pronunciation. This is an ancient translation. So Kumarajiva and Xuanzang have other words. They use new words because it's Sanskrit, and these are based on Prakrit. So when the Indian languages, basically the Indian Gandhari language changes, then the Chinese translation also changes. When it changes from Gandhari to Prakrit, to Sanskrit, it changes from in Chinese too. So they have a very big problem, because if you change the words, what about the influence on Buddhist believers, you know? Because all of a sudden believers have a new word for the same thing. It makes it quite difficult. So that you have the best translators still keep a little of the tradition, not completely new. Some words, you find them all over, from beginning till end. For example, Nirvana. Nirvana, even if the Indian text becomes Sanskrit, which is Nirvana, it is still Nyapan, which is Nibbana. You see? It is still Prakrit. But they do not change this Chinese term to give the sound Nirvana. No, they keep it. Because if you change everything, people will be very confused. So even if you bring changes, you should be very careful not to change too much, or people will not follow anymore. And this was a problem in the different stages of translation, not only for Chinese, but I think even for the Indians, because when you have the Prakrit at the beginning and then Sanskrit later, I can imagine that some Indians did not quite understand that the Prakrit word and the Sanskrit word were the same thing. Because sometimes you can have more than one Sanskritization for one Pali word. If you can have more than one Sanskritization for a Pali word, it can be confusing. So even the step in India from Prakrit to Sanskrit may have been confusing. Not only the way you translate it. I don't know how do you do in Burma? Use the Pali, yes, and avoid the problem, yes. But if you would translate it to some Burmese language, I think you also have the problem. It's easier to stick to the original one, to the Pali in this case. Or the Sanskrit, in the case of China. Well, let's finish this number 80. In the realm in form and in formlessness, all indeterminate, the urges of the realm of form, of the realm of formlessness, are all vyakrita. Why? Because they are destroyed by samadhi. That which is unwholesome, that which is akushala, experiences a painful retribution. Dukkha vedana. Dukkha vipaka, and in them there is no suffering, Yes, if a klesha in Rupa Dhatu would be akushala, the vipaka would be dukkha. Is my English clear? If your klesha is in the Rupa Dhatu, then your vipaka would be akushala. This is very good English, isn't it? This is. If you don't know Sanskrit, you don't understand the English, actually. It is. That's what I always mean. Abhidharma is an Indian language in English terms, you know. But the original Indian terminology is still clear. So in Rupa Dhatu, a klesha is not akushala, because if it is akushala, then the retribution would be bad. And there is no bad retribution there. So it's neutral in the best. And then, question, are all afflictions completely linked to all their particular ranges? Are all afflictions, well, maybe we should have a pause here, yeah. Yes. We should have a break, yes, I think we should have a breathing space, yes. Yeah.